Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 12 says, "A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary." Notice, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. You know, from the beginning, God sought fellowship. In fact, He created man for fellowship with Him. In fact, Jesus Himself, in praying to the Father, said, "This is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And 1 John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3, says, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ." When God instructed Moses to build the temple, the sanctuary, He said this, Exodus 25:8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Notice, God wants to dwell among us. That's why He created us. In fact, the greatest joy that parents on this earth enjoy is the fellowship, the relationship they have with their beautiful, precious children. This is a gift of God, and it's also a model of how much God loves us and wants to have fellowship with us. Let's say this, friends. I believe the scriptures we just read clearly establish the reality that God wants a relationship with us, and He sets the terms. He's perfect, and we're not. He made us, and we're born separated from Him, if you will, especially after we grow enough to know better and start to sin. And that sin separates us from us. And before we were even born, He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we can be reconciled to the Father and the Son. Again, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And so He brings us to Himself and grants us repentance and faith unto everlasting life. And it's all about fellowship. Why do you think Jesus shed His blood? To satisfy the claims of the Father's justice, to justify us, because in His blood, when we're in Christ, that those that are born again and presently abiding in Him have their sins removed, especially when and as they appropriate such, having been born again and walking in the light as Christ is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins, 1 John 1:7. You know, God is holy, 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 and He cannot fellowship with anyone who is not holy or set apart unto Him, and that only happens by the blood. But we must be in compliance with Him and appropriate this by faith. Again, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And if our view and perspective of our relationship with God is not about relationship, then we are missing the mark, and we should stop and begin to meditate on that, including the scriptures that we have already covered here. John 17:3 being paramount, where Jesus said that eternal life, the whole chief purpose of it, was that we might have fellowship with Him and the Father. I want to encourage you to memorize that verse today. Again, John 17:3, "As one is taken by Christ into the burial of the self-life, he will steadily lose his grip on and affection for the monetary trinkets of this passing, fleeting world, and for the glamour and the praise of mere men. Moved by and in the fear of the Lord, the disciple of Christ's allegiance and the affections of his heart will then begin to ascend to the, quote, glorious high throne from the beginning, unquote, which is what? It is the place of our sanctuary. Notice, I really like the words from the beginning. This is the original intent of God in creating mankind and making the provision after he fell in the Garden of Eden to be restored into that relationship. And this is all from the beginning. This is the plan of the Almighty, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Word, that is, and the Holy Ghost, each member, if you will, of the Godhead, integral part in the redemption of mankind for this relationship. In fact, just sweeping over Ephesians 1, what a chapter. Wow. We see in verse 4, believe it is, that we're chosen of the Father. Verse 7, redeemed by the Son. And verse 13, sealed by the Holy Spirit. 13 or 14 there. So that's the whole purpose of God, not only creating man, but also redeeming man after he fell. It was from the beginning. In fact, Christ was slain, the scripture says, I believe it's in Revelation, from the foundation of the world. God foreknew all things, and he made provision by his own precious blood in Christ to redeem us back to him. And why was that? Relationship. You know, as a Catholic growing up, I was an altar boy, a Catholic school, etc. No one had ever in all of history in my family that we know of been saved. But, you know, the Lord saved this wretched sinner, myself. And one of the ways he did that was somebody introduced me to the biblical reality that God created us to have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, and not just to go through the rigors of rote, R-O-T-E, mechanical religious ceremony, which is nothing but death. And while claiming to be the way to God, it's actually preventing you from knowing him. You must be born again, and God has great plans and things in store for you, but you got to do it his way, friend, if you're listening. You know, I was reflecting this week on how when I was a sinner, I was searching, but the Lord brought me to realization through friends that were sharing scripture with me that I could not change myself. Somebody listening might be wondering how, you know, I know things aren't right and I'm trying to change. You know, you people run after all kinds of stuff. They're given the, you know, the positive mental attitude and all this stuff. None of that's going to work. Only God can change your heart and rewire you, regenerate you, and make you a new creature in Christ. He does that change as you simply surrender, put all of your faith in Christ, who died, was buried, and raised again for your justification, and he loves you. And he says to you to come unto me. And many of you, he addresses here, he says, you labor and you're heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It's only in Christ that we find rest. The Prince of Peace is the only one who can give peace to a man, and that happens when he's born again, made a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and now all things have become new. It's the miracle of regeneration. Titus chapter 3, 5 through 7, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. On safeguardyoursoul.com, we have a page on the desktop version and also the menu that's on the mobile version called Peace with God. If you're not 100% certain, my friend, that you're going to be in heaven if you die today, I want you to go to that page and read and then pray the prayer at the end, completely submitting yourself to God. In fact, you may want to call a true disciple, a Christian friend, to pray with you. Just tell them, say, man, I'm ready to get right with God. I want him to forgive my sins and take me into his eternal family. Amen. Would be the most important and wisest decision that you will ever make. Isn't it a blessing to know that from the beginning, it was God's plan that this glorious high throne be the place of our sanctuary? I tell you, as you memorize this verse, Jeremiah 17:12, this is the main verse of this message. A glorious high throne from the beginning. This was God's plan from the beginning, that we have access to this throne of grace, which he talks about in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Notice this, what an absolute paramount vision. Now, through this message, beloved, you're going to get a greater and greater revelation of God's plan for us, and that our headquarters is heaven. Our headquarters is where the Father is seated, and the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins to give you a place with God, is seated at his right hand, book of Hebrews, making an intercession for you as only he can do. Amen. Hebrews 7 talks about it, that 7:24 through 26. Also right here in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, the great high priest in heaven, that is passed into the heavens. Amen. When he raised again from the dead, he went back to sit with the Father at his right hand. And what is he doing? He's making intercession for you and I. It says, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. So Jesus, our great high priest, has passed into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. In other words, he walked in the flesh for 33 and a half years. And he was what? But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus understands how we feel and how we live in the flesh. He was tempted in every point. The difference is that he never sinned. Every one of us has. We've been drawn away of our own lust and have only ourselves to blame. But God wants to forgive us for all those sins and give us power, his power, the only power to overcome sin. Notice this in verse 16 as we finish this passage. Let us therefore come boldly. That means confident, completely confident. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Aren't you glad it's not a throne of harsh judgment? It's a throne of grace. Why? Because when you're coming to him, you're coming with a sincere, humble, contrite heart. You're coming boldly because of what? Because of the blood of Christ that was shed for you to give you place with the Father. Amen. The Father spoke from heaven on several occasions, as we read in the Gospels. He said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So if you're in Christ, you're well pleasing to the Father. Amen. You have his righteousness imputed to you, Romans 4. Amen. On the behalf of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are, my friend, the righteous. You are righteous. You're in right standing with God as your one with Christ. Amen. And nothing glorifies the Father more than to see the pain and the suffering that his Son suffered on that cross to be imputed to you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should, every man should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, so let us therefore come boldly because of Christ's sacrifice unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. Why? Because we've sinned. Amen. We have not put him first. We've lied. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We've stolen. Thou shalt not steal. We've not loved. Therefore, we have murdered in our hearts. 1 John 3:14-15. If you hate anyone, you have committed murder. If you look on a woman to lust, if you look on anybody you're not married to lust after, you have already committed adultery in your heart. And the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Also, we have all committed idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the first commandment. The second commandment, which the Catholic Church removed because it was costing him money, says, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image of anything in likeness of anyone in heaven or in earth. Right? Here, let's make sure we get that one right. That is the second commandment, and it is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation, to them that hate me, and it's showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and that keep my commandments. Then the third commandment, which we've all broken also, is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So we're all guilty of sin. And after you're saved, if you sin, you can come to the, and this is who this is written to, believers. God wants you to come boldly before his throne of grace to get to have mercy given to you, to obtain what? You get to obtain by the sacrifice of Christ as you come before this glorious high throne, this throne of grace, mercy. Amen. And to find grace to help in time of need. Now, the definition, the biblical definition of grace is not only the divine influence of God on our hearts, what a blessing that is, right? But also the divine enablement of God. That's why Peter prayed that we would be multiplied in the grace of God, the beginning and the end of 2 Peter chapter 1 and the end of chapter 3. So we come before the throne of grace for what purpose? Because we want to have our relationship with God in right standing at all times. In fact, you may have to wear out a path to this throne of grace. Do it, man. God loves it. He delights to restore anyone who has backslidden, whether it be for a moment, a day, a week, a month, or 10 years. God delights to save from the uttermost to the guttermost unto himself and grant his mercy and grace. Not only mercy for your sins that you committed, but grace so that you can overcome them. Amen. The divine enablement, the divine power of God to bless you to overcome. Again, Jeremiah 17:12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Amen. This is so important. This is such an important truth. There are so many today who seem to make something else our headquarters, if you will. We don't even realize it sometimes till we're long gone from it. So many depend on some other man to tell them about God. They depend on a certain ministry or Sunday morning church gathering. And this could be a real spiritual death trap. Not saying always it is, but we've got to be real careful. You know, Paul said he intentionally did not do anything to cause people to trust him, but fostered their faith and love for God, that their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And also the obvious fruit of the modern church is not reflective of what the Lord's word defines as an abiding, fruit-filled disciple of Christ, John 15, etc. One who is anchored and headquartered in this glorious high throne that God from the beginning designed and created and provided to be the place of our sanctuary. And you know, this is why this churchianity, as some call it, that me, myself, I'm just telling you for myself, I'm not telling you what to do or even, you know, hinting of that, but I'm going to just give you my testimony because I've always been in church. But over the last few years, I no longer feel the need to and don't see that it's God's will for me to have to go to church on Sunday morning. He wants me walking with him in a relationship every day. Sometimes this church attendance thing pretty much develops kind of a rigmarole or a pattern of just putting everything on that Sunday morning gathering instead of sinking or swimming, if you will, on a daily basis and following Christ by your own seeking of his face. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. And then the Sunday morning gathering becomes the thing that you see as your time of worship. That's incorrect. 24/7, 365, our headquarters is this glorious high throne of his grace. When we abide in Christ, we walk with Christ, we walk in the spirit with him. You know, somebody just put out a meme about prayer that I really thought was amazing. Maybe this dovetails in here. See, prayer, on that note of making, you know, our worship basically attending church, and this is a reality for so many. You ask them if they're born again, and they say, oh, I go to this church. They don't talk about Jesus. They're obviously not hanging out in this glorious high throne of grace, headquartered and anchored in Christ at the right hand of the Father, and fellowship and abiding with him. But they're pretty much, their identity is that they go to this church. Hell is full of people that went to church. Jesus didn't say that your identity is to be in anybody else but him. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So this lady, Becky Thompson, said this, if you're overwhelmed by the fact that there's nothing you can do except pray, then, my friend, she says, you undervalue your greatest weapon. Amen. if prayer is just some kind of a last resort, you know, tucked away over to the side when you need it, that doesn't speak of relationship. That speaks of using someone to get what you want when you get in a pinch. We all know people like that, right? Maybe we've been that way ourselves somewhere along the line, but we know people that they only call you when they need you, not because they love you and want a relationship with you. The Bible says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there for you, man. That's what, if you're single, that's the kind of husband, ladies, you want. That's what kind of wife you want, gentlemen. A real person of fidelity, godly integrity, amen. Somebody who's living to the glory of Jesus Christ, and therefore they're there to serve him and others first, not themselves. They don't come lusting for what they can get. They come loving for what they can give, no different than Rebecca. When Isaac asked her, Genesis 24, to get him some water, she didn't put her hands on the hip and say, well, I'm an independent woman. You know, all this Jezebel garbage and stuff like that. She immediately served him, and she had a great husband for her whole life. Amen. What a blessing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Wow. The foundations of everything whereby Christ came out of that lineage, and the 12 foundations, the 12 sons of Jacob. Amen. What a blessing. So notice she said, if prayer basically is a last resort, you grossly undervalue. You don't realize what your greatest weapon is. And that's what? Prayer. Because prayer is, it's the action of fellowshipping with God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Most of these local churches, they're not interested in you having a personal relationship with Jesus. They just want you back next Sunday to drop a coin in the coffer. Amen. It's not about Christ to them. It's not about the cross. They're not teaching you that you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. They know that if they teach that, they're going to run you off, because most people don't want to hear it. That's why this says, Jesus said, many are going to go to hell. Most. Matthew 7:13 and 14. Why? Because they're not interested in doing things God's way. They have not repented. When you repent, you say, yes, sir, Jesus, and you ravage, you devour, you pour over his words and take them into your bosom, and you walk with him in those truths, those precepts. You abide in him. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The benefits of walking with Christ at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you at this glorious high throne, which was always God's plan for you, is the place of our sanctuary. There are benefits that come from our relationship with him, which is anchored in the place of our sanctuary, which is the glorious high throne of God in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, are out of this world. The Bible says, forget not all his benefits. Again, John chapter 15, verse 7. I love this. Don't you just love this? Who is it that doesn't want God hearing their prayers? I don't know about you, man. Whenever I have sinned in my Christian life and felt that separation, man, that just destroyed me from the inside out, knowing that I'm cut off. I'm disconnected. Doesn't matter if you like it or not with your little foolish theology. Some of you once saved, always saved heretics. Sin separates people from God. Every time it was found in heaven, it was ejected. God's not going to have it. Psalm 15:4, Habakkuk 1:13, Revelation 4:8. God's holy, holy, holy. And he said, be holy for I'm holy. And that holiness means just being separated unto him. And when you go before the throne of grace and you obtain his mercy through the blood of Christ's cross, amen, afresh, you're immediately holy, separated unto him, sanctified, washed, cleansed, and justified. Amen. So as I was saying here, John 15:7, if Jesus said, you abide in me, that means you live life in fellowship with him. You're anchored in him. Amen. And the Father, filled with his Spirit, washed in his blood, depending on him, not a local church or pastor or minister, but on Christ himself, the great high priest of your faith. Hebrews 3, verse 1. The glorious high throne from the beginning is only made possible by the Father and the glorious high priest, Jesus Christ, who is the apostle, the author and finisher of your faith. And according to Hebrews 3, 1, Jesus is, here it is, let's see, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle, capital A, the apostle, definite article, Jesus Christ, the nail-scarred, risen Savior. Amen. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. We're to consider him. We're to be looking unto him, as it says later in the book of Hebrews, who is the, again, author and finisher of our faith. What did he say? If you abide in me, if, it's conditional, it's his will, but he leaves you with free will. will. There's no such thing as love when people don't have a choice. So he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you're not a man of the word of God, you're not a man of God at all. You're fooling no one but yourself. Amen. The man of God, Psalm 1, meditates in the word of God day and night, and he prospers and he's flourishing with the life of Christ. Amen. Because he's anchored in Christ, who is seated at that glorious high throne, and that's his sanctuary. That's our sanctuary, not a Sunday morning church, friends. So this is exactly the state of the modern church, is obviously apostate. This is exactly why I do not do the church thing anymore. The fruit is clear. Nearly anyone that I know that is a faithful church member is a fruitful disciple. I don't know any. They're beholden to their church program and community. They're not beholden to Christ. They're not anchored in this glorious high throne, which from the beginning was designed by God to be the place of our sanctuary. Nearly none of them are fruitful disciples, if any. These church members, you and I, we all know, perhaps that was never God's design anyway. Many of us were brought up in that, if you will, as Christians, or even from children. For younger believers, I don't know, perhaps it fits here or there for a season, especially if you got somebody in there preaching the word. By the way, why do none of these churches use the King James Bible? That is apostasy right there. Boom. You gotta be kidding me, man. By the way, I have an open invitation for anyone who wants to publicly or otherwise debate the fake Bibles next to the King James Bible. That's not a preference, by the way. It's a conviction based on comparison, such as the blood being removed from Colossians 1:14. I could go on and on. You could check it out, Bible versions issue category on safeguardyoursoul.com. So functioning organically 24/7, 365 seems to be what we see in the lives of Christians, the earliest Christians. We see that first in the life of Christ. We see it in the holy apostles of Christ. And in the book of Acts, etc., we see it in the earliest followers of Jesus. They lived the cross, man. They lived in the Spirit, walked in the Spirit, as the Bible says we're to do, and didn't need a Sunday morning pep rally, nor to divert their identity away from Christ himself and onto some mere man's church business enterprise. Not only is your identity, but your resources are being directed away from Christ. You don't need that ministry. You don't need to. Should you be paying, you know, an exorbitant salary and all the light bills and all that? I mean, I'm not saying having a church building, a separate church building, is a sin in and of itself, but most of what goes on in those buildings is not really the gospel. It's not the original gospel. What do you mean, brother? Well, are they preaching the cross, the crucified life? Are they preaching Christology about Jesus? I mean, God forbid, you know, with most modern ministry, they don't have time to talk about Jesus and all the aspects of the divine Son of God. They don't preach hell. They don't preach on sin, what God defined as sin. They don't preach on judgment to come. They don't preach on the essentials of repentance, of personal holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14, etc. And so that right there tells us that that's not a ministry that's ordained of God and functioning in the original gospel. It's apostate. It's false. Their lives were headquartered, that is, Christ, his apostles, and the earliest believers, followers of Jesus, they were headquartered, anchored, beholden to the throne of God, the throne of his grace, the glorious high throne, amen, and not a church building routine on Sunday mornings, but in the glorious high throne, which is the place of our sanctuary. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts is that they met house to house daily. Isn't that a blessing? They couldn't get enough of Jesus, so they flourished in Christ every day, instead of, you know, like today, we got people that get proud of themselves because they go to church once a week. That's ridiculous. All right, as we come to a close here, Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest, said this: the main thing about Christianity is not the works we do, but the relationship we maintain and the atmosphere produced by that relationship. He finishes, he says, that is all God asks us to look after. And it is the one thing that is being continually assailed or attacked. And I would say that that's part, as I explained earlier, of what these local churches do. They divert your resources, the affections of your heart on building a man's enterprise functioning under his agenda and not heaven's agenda. So as we close, let me ask you something, friend. Is that your whole focus? Are your affections of your heart set upon Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father? Or in taking inventory, have you been diverted? That's how the spirit of Antichrist works. Anti meaning in place of. It wants that evil spirit, through a lot of false ministers, which are most ministers, unfortunately, unfortunately, but definitely biblically true, that most of them are false, especially in this late hour. Satan uses them. Satan has his ministers, 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. They pose as ministers of righteousness, but they're wicked, and they are fueled by and possessed by Satan himself. And what is their job? To divert you from Christ. Amen. Antichrist. Anti meaning in place of. So they're there to displace you from God and from what he said and from having a personal relationship with him. So beware. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. There it is. That above refers to that glorious high throne, which from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And then it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, you do it, on things above. Let me tell you, it's a fight, but it's a beautiful reward for those who fight the good fight of faith. Amen. To set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That would include local church buildings and what goes on in them and along, you know, those organizations. Then he says, for you are dead. Here's the cross. Here's the cross. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, that is, those that have their affection set on him, not on the things of the earth, those that are crucified with him, because then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God bless you, friend. Glad we had these moments together, and I want to really encourage you to take these scriptures we talked about and put them on an index card, write them out from the King James Bible, begin to memorize them, and that's how you're going to begin to be able to meditate upon them. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.